What's coming from the heart of God? That's where you build your life. That's your foundation. And that's what makes your will strong. We need to see things through. And I've mastered some things, I'll say that, because compared to where I was at, I mastered it. And I'm sure there's a lot more to learn about the same things. But some things that was a huge problem is not a problem at this point. But then there are other categories I still have trouble that I want to master. So I asked the Lord about that. And I prioritized the things that's most important. I want to tackle that, and the things that, you know, I put on the back burner, I'm getting to them. There are other things in my life I want to correct too. And I asked the Lord for better ways of doing things. Now, but when people intermeddle with wisdom, then they're on a fast track to destruction, or a slow track to destruction. Verse 15 said, "When lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and when sin, when it is finished, brings forth death." He said, "Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." There is nothing evil from the Lord. Everything of God is perfect. It's pure. It's good. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and coming down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You see that? Promotion is in the will of God for us. And that's our hope. That we will be our first fruits of his creation, of his creatures. That's amazing. God told Adam to be over everything that moves on earth. He said, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not right in the righteousness of God." There's no reason for that. "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Perfect. Now, I want to get this in the first half. The Lord said, "Pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord." Now, when the Lord gave me that, that explained a lot too. That's why proud people cannot see what God is doing. They can't appreciate it. They can't enter into it. They won't allow themselves to enter into it. Pride never. Now, when the enemy is tempting people with pride and they're acting on it, that's one thing. I put it this way. Nebuchadnezzar's mind was hardened with pride, not his heart. And he was able to bounce back. After 7 years of eating grass and acting like an animal, he had the mind of a beast. God was able to work with him. And he was able to come back. But see, Herod did the same kind of thing that physically, he spoke the same kind of words that Nebuchadnezzar said that got him in trouble. But Herod was eaten with worms. See, if pride gets in your heart, it's game over. And I'm still looking. Any people that got in pride in their heart, did they ever come back? I wondered about Saul. King Solomon. Solomon had the wisdom of God. He may have had enough strength to come back from it. See, the thing about sin is this. It don't work. And it's an emptiness to it. Now, one of the things that Solomon said was vanity of vanity. He came to a point while he was out there to understand that this ain't working for me. There's no point to it. There's no way I'll come out on top if I live this way. So I can believe he bounced back. He saw it for what it was. But see, the spirit of pride never disapproves itself. And when people allow that satanic device in their being, in their heart, they act like Satan. Saul didn't bounce back. He tried, he wanted David dead. He couldn't kill him, so he tried to make him promise to not kill his children. He had enough sense to realize that he's not winning this fight, and David's going to be the king, and he's going to die. But he still tried to serve pride. Pride never disapproves itself. That's why the Laodicean church is so off track and so dangerous. See, the Laodicean church, my friend, is a weapon. It's something to distract from everything that God is doing. They listen to the word with Satan's ears. They got Satan's earbuds in. They hear the things that of God's word that be a pride for them. They give them preeminence. And if when you think that way, it gets into your mouth. It gets into your heart. Whatever's in your heart is coming out of your mouth. That's why some things, some teachings, God will only give to those who are sincere. And the Holy Spirit helps me. He prompts me not to talk too much. Sometimes he calls me to forget. Now, when God needed Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to do something important, sometimes he led them with droughts. Joseph, too. I mean, who would go to Egypt unless that was a drought? They didn't want to go down there. But if God needed them in Egypt, that was a drought, and they go down there. Or wherever God wanted them to go, that was a drought, and that was wherever the land, they could go feed their sheep. They were shepherds, and their cattle, there was no grass, so they had to go where the grass was. Well, when I don't have enough sense to not talk too much, the Holy Spirit caused me to forget. When I leave the people that he didn't want me to tell something to, it all comes back. On my way home, that happened so many times. And there's sometimes some revelations I want to share with people I care about. If it's the wrong timing, I don't get the prompting. And if it's right, I learn to run things by the Lord. I don't just talk. If I talk now, it's because the Lord approved me to say it. Or if he prompts me while I'm already talking, I'll say it. When I do these broadcasts, he calls me to say all kind of things I never thought about. You know, I didn't even realize it this way, but pride never disapproves itself. Now that's something I can easily understand because he taught me many things about pride. And it seeks praise unto hatred. Pride will fall out with people if they don't get their praise. If somebody looks better than them, they get angry. That's not the kind of people God wants speaking his glorious word. Or speaking something that's a new glory. See, there are things God wants to introduce into this natural realm. And he does it through his people. But he wants to do it through pure people, not just people who have sided with his enemy. And the reason they don't know it is because they approve themselves. Pride always approves itself. When you make a choice that's pride-based, it's harder next time to do it right. When you make a choice that's love-based, it's easier next time to be bold and do it God's way. I was watching a Western, I forgot the name of it, but Glenn Ford was a sharpshooter, but he was not a murderer. He had never killed a man before. And he was the fastest gun possibly alive the man he was portraying was the fastest gun. He could shoot and not miss, and he could shoot quick. He could draw a gun. He was good with a gun, but he had to keep it a secret because it's just like in my neighborhood. If you beat somebody up, then somebody that heard about the fight's gonna want to try you. And so if you win, somebody else gonna want to try you. If you beat up somebody that they're scared of, then they want to box you or they want to fight you. See? So they can say, I beat him up. So you really didn't. And Glenn Ford in this movie, he never killed anybody. And he would go off and practice shooting, and he was very good at it. But he didn't want people to know it because the word would spread. So he worked hard to keep it a secret. But people found out. And he was selling women's dresses. You know, he didn't want people to know what he could really do. But he wanted people to know. Some reasons, he wanted, you know, men like to let people know, hey, this is what I can do. But he knew not to do it because somebody was going to, which the word got out, and then this crazy gunfighter came along. And so he tried to pretend like he was dead. And the man, when he found out, it put him in a bad position because he really didn't want to kill anybody. But this is why I brought all that up. He said, if you kill a man, it gets easier. And he didn't want that. He didn't want that. He didn't want to go down Satan's road. And so that's why he tried to keep what he could do a secret. So if you start loving people and operating in God's word, that statement is true. It gets easier. Your faith gets bolder. The flame of your faith, it becomes torch-like. It becomes like a torch. And you don't care what people think. Now, I had to come to the Lord told me one time, break every crutch. So I had to say, okay, I'm going to do this God's way. I'm not going to lean on people and depend on people to approve what God gives me to do. Once here, now this is how I do it. I'm not one of those loose cannons. When the Lord give me something like this, pride never disapproves itself. It seeks praise unto hatred, saith the Lord. I believe it, because love believes all things. And when he told me these other words, the will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choice. I didn't know all this stuff. So I'm looking at it and learning it. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. It forms after your choices. The will can be chosen and developed, encouraged and discouraged. Purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the worldly will, saith the Lord. It speaks for us. It's true. Now, when the Lord gave me a teaching, I judge it by the word of God first. And when I ask for confirmations, he calls holy men and women of God to confirm whatever I need a confirmation of. And it happens 100% of the time. So after he confirms what he wants me to do, I'm dug in. My faith is like a torch. And I don't care who say don't do it that way, because I'm going to do it the way God said. I have a vow on my life that I would obey him. And I'll land where I land. I said, now, years ago, I made that commitment. I said, I've been going to church all my life. I saw how my dad did it. I saw how people treated him. And he was sincere. I saw how things would go. I was very observant. Even though I was a kid, I was observant. When I went to other churches, I was observant. It puzzled me sometimes the things that God's people would do or say. And I know how this world works. And I listened. Daddy would visit many people at their homes, in the sick bed or in the hospital. And I started noticing the people that were in the worst shape complained more than people who were older and in better shape. Now, they were all old, but some people were younger than the people that didn't complain as much. Now, watch. So what you say has a lot to do with how your life ends. Now, And this is a serious thing. This is not something, I'm not going to say things to embarrass people, but what you do has a future attached to it. Whatever you choose to do, all right, let's look at the will again. The will is the sum of your faith and doubt. So naturally, if you would, and spiritually, if you would operate by faith and not doubt, your future is going to be stronger. That future is going to be stronger than the future that has doubt in it. Then it forms after your choices. So if it's your pattern of making strong choices, your life is going to get stronger. But if you take the cheap way out, your life is going to be weaker. And the cheap way don't work for you. And it's hard to figure out if that's what you're choosing. Because pride doesn't disqualify itself. You know, it's one or the other. Pride never disapproves itself. So the Lord told me this too. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, he can't learn my ways. Once you make a choice, I'm going to do it this way. You can't learn God's ways doing it your way. You got to do it his way. And it's a discipline to do it. And so there are some habits I'm used to doing, and I'll do it before I think about it. So those are the kind of things that the Lord is helping me with now. So, and I thank God. Every time as I grow from glory to glory, I start working on things that I left dormant. You know, there's other ground. As I progress, I do better. It's a blessing that the will can be chosen and developed and encouraged. And you have to understand it can be discouraged. And God's purpose is in the living will, while destruction is in the world of will. Now, let's end with this. All right. People who cherish what God is saying and they're sincere, they're going to see a greater outcome. It's very important to make a choice to do it God's way and not just man's way. And do God's way in place of man's way. And do God's way, whatever God put on your heart, make it happen. Let your faith be like a torch. Stop depending on people to encourage you. You can't always depend on encourage. It's a blessing when it comes. It's a blessing when people encourage your will. But one day, statistically, you're probably going to have to be able to encourage yourself at the worst of times. Just like David did. All right, the enemies was against him. They took everything. His men was mad at him and wanted to kill him because all their possessions and their wives and children were taken by the enemy. They thought they'd never see him again. David is the king, and he's anointed to be the king. And there was nobody to encourage him. There was nobody to say, I know you can do this. So David worshiped God. He encouraged himself through praise. Sometimes you got to turn your own you got to take that candle and turn it into a torch. You scorn it when you have to, but sometimes you got to let that fire become a torch. You got to let that faith be a burning torch that can't be blown out, that can cut metal underwater. And that's the kind of faith that we have at our disposal. God can give it to us. See, I asked the Lord about the gift of faith. I said, Lord, teach me about the gift of faith. He said, it's simple. As long as you're in faith, I'll give you faith. Now, this is more, it's a gift. In every emergency I ever had, I say, Jesus, and I have the faith. He compensates me. As long as I'm in faith, he'll give me the faith. Same thing when I ask for confirmations. Okay, Lord, this is kind of new to me, I got to speak your word accurately. I don't want to mess nobody up. I need a confirmation. As long as I'm in faith about what he said, he always give me a confirmation. And I don't have to be a loose cannon out here preaching something sideways. I want to stay on the narrow path, everything I teach. And I depend on the Lord to help me do it. So I learned to monitor the Holy Spirit. What is he really saying to me? What is he bringing to me? And why? So through these broadcasts, a lot of my questions are being answered about the will. And see, God is moving by his Spirit. And see, he know what his people need. I don't know what his people need. I'm curious about many things and subjects. And I've always been very curious about the will. So I thank God that he talks to me about the will of man. And he shows me what's dangerous to the will, just like pride. And what encourages people's will. Loving words. When people bless you, let them bless you. But you got to understand, the same people that bless you today, they might do something different tomorrow. They worshiped Jesus with palm leaves when he came in on the donkey. And then they crucified him a few days later. So, not saying that your people would do that, your family and friends. But I mean, you just, in this life, you got to be vigilant. You got to be ready for whatever. And don't take it personally when people take the wrong road. When they do, if they say something cross like Joel's wife, don't take it personal. It's not the end of the world. Even good people will give up. You encourage them. Let your faith be like a torch. So when you have that faith that stays in agreement with God, that endeavors to go forward and be bolder. Now, you know, like you have ever increasing faith. I love it. You know, I love it. I love the things of God. And our faith can always be ever increasing. I want to stay in covenant full time. You know, it's good to be in full-time ministry, and it's even better to be in full-time covenant ministry. All ministry is not covenant. I want to agree with God and be in ministry, do ministry full-time. Now, I know I have to work. I still have to work. My work is ministry, too. But I still work to make money. I have a business, so I don't just preach. I work and I preach, but I can still be full-time covenant. Now, I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He will still mightily move in and throughout your life. He will teach you, wake you up, give you songs in the night, have you praying in the Holy Spirit to bless your loved ones. Stay in faith. Stay in victory. Let your faith be undiminished and ever increase. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you. Jesus Christ is our Lord.